Welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Tap. It is October 1st, game 163, last day or last full day for me in the United States for a few weeks. We'll talk about that in a second here. Excited to talk to you guys. Sorry that we didn't promote Part of Murph's Fantasy. I saw you guys listen to it, which is great. And I'm sorry we didn't give you an NFL wake and take. I'm also sorry there wasn't an instant reaction. Truth be told, it's been a busy weekend for me getting ready for London. Just the priority has not been on the blog. So I apologize for that. I apologize to Murph. I should have got that out. I didn't, but that's okay. It happens. And I'm ready to do kind of the game 163 preview, talk a little bit about Packers Bills from yesterday, and yeah, give you sort of the update on what you will see from the tap in the next 2 weeks. So as I just sort of have alluded to it in this first minute, I am headed to London. I'm going to London tomorrow, headed out around, I think we're getting out of Milwaukee midday. And so I'll be flying during the wild card game. Fingers crossed that the Brewers win on Monday, and then I will not have to worry about that wild card game. I'll just be like, oh, they'll either play the Cubs or the Dodgers or Rockies. That's kind of the hope. That's the goal. Life sometimes isn't that fair, correct? So I will be in London until the 12th. I'll get back, on that day. Maybe we'll do a special daily tap, even though there will be part of Murph's Fantasy on that Saturday, just because the NLCS will be that Friday night. I'm not completely dead to the world. I will have my phone. I will be able to stream and things of that nature. The good news is that we have Wi-Fi capabilities in the flat. I think it's an, I don't even know if it's Airbnb, but it's a flat. And so I will definitely be connected. I'm planning to watch every Brewer game, going forward. So if you follow me on Twitter, SnowTapWI, that's probably where I'll get a lot of my takes. I am planning to write a few things, today and tomorrow before I leave, sort of the Packer and Badger preview for this week. As well as look at the, also look at weekend watch list. I'll tape that, heading before on Tuesday. I'll also tape a daily tap for Tuesday. And that'll be it. At least that'll be sort of the base level. Now added to that mix, I will have, like, obviously I've taped podcasts on my phone before. I did that for a little while this summer as I was sort of getting the office all set up at my new place. So I could potentially do a daily tap or two from London, depending on just what's going on. I haven't really talked to Mitch and Murph. I'm giving them sort of the free rein. So you may see blogs, you may see podcasts from those two. They are more than welcome to have that sort of ability. I trust them more than maybe most people in my life. It probably ranks my girlfriend one, my parents two, and then Mitch and Murph three. That's kind of how it goes, with that. So they're kind of allowed to sort of do whatever they want. So if I do end up taping something, you'll know it. They'll let me know and we'll get it up. I mean, granted, I'll probably tape it in the morning, which will be like 2 a.m. in London or 2 a.m. Here. So they'll get sort of a notification like, hey, I taped a podcast this morning. But, you know, I don't know. It also could be I won't tape anything and I'll sort of just be sort of dormant. So you never know. It just depends on how much time I have. I have a tablet that I'll be using. I also have a, my phone, so I can write on those things, but they're not obviously like a computer. If my sister happens to bring her computer, I may end up using that and writing on that if I have some downtime in between. But I appreciate the support. It is unfortunate that I'm heading to London when the Brewers are going to be on their playoff run. I have something special that I've been planning to write for tomorrow, so hopefully look forward to that. But I hope they're still here when I get back, and hope that we have another 2 or 3 weeks of Brewer talk, as well as getting ready for the Bucks regular season, which should be really exciting, as well as getting fired up for just the middle of the Packer season. Packers obviously have a big push coming up in late October when they head to Los Angeles and New England in back-to-back weeks. So all should be exciting. Like I said, make sure you're still following us. I'll be checking in when I can. I'm really excited to go to London. I'm really excited to be in Europe for the first time in my life. So in my 30 years, and definitely looking forward to that. Head on the road. There is a game 163 today at Wrigley Field. The Brewers and the Cubs. It is, if you were one of those people, you were a Cubs fan who said, well, this really isn't a rivalry. This isn't really that important of a series, of a matchup to Cubs fans. Well, I'd ask you to reconsider. The Brewers now are finished second or first for the second straight year. The St. Louis Cardinals are still going to be your longtime rival, but at the end of the day, the Brewers and Cubs are developing a rivalry. This is how rivalries start. You can have the regular season ship, but when it comes to the postseason, that's where it matters. So they have a one-game playoff. They could have a five-game series against each other, which is a whole other can of worms that I will talk about tomorrow probably. But these two teams are going to match up now in game 163. Wrigley Field in October is a lot like Lambeau in December in the way where dumb shit happens. It tends to be one of those places that just favors the home team. The Cubs feel comfortable there. It's not under the lights. I feel like it's weird that under the lights at Wrigley in October tend to bring out the magic, but I really do believe that. So maybe that does work to the Brewers' advantage. I know that's all subjective, right? Jose Quintana has been an absolute monster against the Brewers. I think it's obviously he is the first player to watch, the first player to talk about. I wrote about it today, Snowtap WI. It's a website. But the Brewers have to figure out Quintana. They have to get on him early. I believe that this offense will sort of feature the best possible options against Quintana early on. You'll probably have a lineup that looks a little bit like this. You'll have Kane, you'll have Yelich, you will have Braun, you'll have Aguilar, Perez, Moustakas, Scope, and then Manny Pena or Eric Kratz. Eric Kratz did hit a home run off him, so you probably have Eric Kratz. And then Yuli Chacin. They haven't announced the starter yet. I think that's what the lineup will look like. I know people will be upset that Travis Shaw isn't in the lineup. I will remind you that Travis Shaw is 1-16 against Quintana. He has a sub-100 average. Shaw will factor in this game at some point. Don't you worry. I feel like I'm saying this for my friend Eric, who always bitches about the lineups. I'm sure we'll get a text message from Eric around 10 a.m. bitching about this lineup. It's like a lock. It's a lock of all locks. But that said, I think that you have to go with Hernan Perez, who's hit .320 against Quintana. I know it's a small sample size. I know it's not a given, but still, you have a lot there working for Perez's favor. In a lot of ways, I think Ryan Braun is another player to watch. I think Ryan Braun has sort of refound himself in the last few weeks. He's been working on his launch angle. If you sort of read why Braun has been so hot down the stretch, he's been trying to lift the ball more, and it's been really helping him. He loves hitting at Wrigley Field. He is probably one of the biggest foils in the Cubs side. They boo him. The fans hate him. But he lives off it. He lives off that shit. He hit two home runs off of Quintana earlier this year. He's going to obviously try to do it again. And I don't know what the weather conditions are going to be like. I haven't seen those yet. Obviously, if the winds are blowing in, that favors Quintana even more. But this Brewers offense has been red hot. They've 7 of their last 9 games, the Brewers have scored 5 or more runs. They scored over five runs in their last three games at Miller Park, stinging the ball all over the field against the Detroit Tigers. They scored a grand total of 24 runs in their last three games, averaging eight per clip. They are red hot right now. Now, we'll see how long Chacin's leash is in this game number 163. It's a really interesting dynamic with the Brewers having another game on Tuesday. I could argue that the relievers do not need as much rest because they were given pretty much a day off on Sunday. The Brewers only used three pitchers. They used Gio Gonzalez, they used Junior Guerra, and Jordan Lyles. All three, I wouldn't imagine, are factors in this game. Lyles and Guerra, maybe, if this game goes like 14 innings. Which, if it does go 14 innings, I may just rip my heart out and just say, okay, well, I won't feel anything if this goes wrong. But I do that to that point, I do think that you can use Knebel, you can use Jeremy Jeffries, you can use Taylor Williams, you could use Joaquim Soria. You can use all those guys because I think they can pitch again on Tuesday if you do end up losing. The only way where the Brewers would wave the white flag is if, say, the Cubs were to jump on them with a 6 or 7 run first three innings. I then would recommend to just say, all right, well, let's just play for Tuesday. We know that we'll have to face these guys again potentially on Thursday. Just sort of let's just all just collectively get there. I'm not expecting that type of game from either side. I'd be shocked if this game is a blowout. I think it's going to be 3-4, or it's going to be something like, you know, 7-6. I mean, it's going to come down to the last few at-bats, and it's going to be excruciating to watch at work. Thank God that I don't work in the financial services anymore, so I can actually stream this game pretty easily on my computer. As I'm working, of course, right? But no, seriously, it'll be on. I don't know. We have TVs in the office. I don't know. Maybe we'll have it on in the office. That would be great. I'm not that close to either TV, but you know, I'm definitely going to temper my excitement for today's game because I've definitely am the resident sports fan in the office. And yes, I'm sure there'll be a lot like, oh, are you going to, what are you going to do for the game? Oh, like, I don't know. I'm probably just listen to it and just enjoy it and go forward with that. Sound like a big old fucking nerd. But no, I think that the Brewers are well rested. The only real thing to watch there is Josh Hader. What are they going to do with Josh Hader? Is Josh Hader going to go out there? He's dominated the Cubs. He's been so good against the Cubs. He's not really worked well on one day's rest. We saw how much he struggled against the Tigers on Friday. He didn't pitch Saturday. He did not pitch Sunday. So he's fully rested. But if you do trot out Hader in this game, does this game matter more than, because like, it's such a weird thing. I don't know what Craig Counsell is going to do. The only thing I can imagine is Craig Counsell saying to Hader, like, look, we're only going to pitch you for an inning. We can only give you an inning because we may need you tomorrow. Like, how can they, have they worked on it? I'm sure they've talked about it. I'm sure there's a conversation. I'm sure that Hader wants to go out there. Or maybe it's this. It's that he does get to pitch in this game. And then if they do need him in the wild card matchup on Tuesday night, I would imagine he has the shortest of leashes for that game. I don't know. I have no idea what Craig Counsell is going to do. I realize that he'll get criticized either way. I would implore Brewer fans to realize that this is probably the hardest decision that Counsell has to make all year. I think the Brewers are going to win. I feel good. This team has done so many great things in September. You just have had that feeling that this, I don't want to say the D word. There is a D word about this team that you get that vibe. Just this month has been just absolutely magical, and there's just something about them. And it seems like they are destined to celebrate at Wrigley Field like they did at Busch Stadium, and then go back and face the Cubs again in a few days on Thursday at Miller Park in game number one. But we'll see. Should be exciting today, and it'll be definitely gut-wrenching. It's baseball. So we'll see how that, how everything all breaks out, and we'll be back tomorrow to talk about it. All right, with the Packers. So Packers won 22-0. The good news is the defense looked awesome. Justified some of the things I've been saying on these podcast waves for the last 2 weeks, that this defense to me looks pretty good. They've had a few hiccups, whether it was the fourth quarter against the Vikings or the first half against Washington, but the defense had, you know, had some moments. They definitely had, you know, halves of football. This was the first full game where the defense looked awesome. They sacked Josh Allen 7 times. They had 2 interceptions. They played really freaking well. Both the front 7 and the secondary were in sync. Jaire Alexander had his first interception. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is up to 3 interceptions, made a fantastic play on the football. Probably one of the best plays Ha-Ha has made in the last 2 years. So they played really well. Blake Martinez had himself a great day. Kyler Fackrell had 3 sacks. Like, what the fuck there? Kenny Clark just did Kenny Clark things. This defense looked really good. It's a really encouraging step for a defense that I think it got unfairly criticized through the first 3 games of the season. Now they are going to be tested in Detroit. Matthew Stafford, obviously, you know, is a flamethrower. He has a 3-headed monster at receiver. You'd really like to have Kevin King back for that game to match up with the likes of Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones, and Golden Tate. It'll be interesting to see where they put all their guys. They will probably have Bashaud Breeland for this game. Breeland was inactive for Sunday, probably just getting him comfortable in the system. They wanted to get his feet wet. My guess is he'll be there for the Lions game. They may wait until the Niners game. Who knows? But I'd like to see Breeland out there against a very tough Lions receiving core next week. The problems, though, lie with the offense. We kind of talked about it even on the weekend watch list about how just the Packers are so archaic, right? Like, their offense is stuck in 2011. This offense is not a 2018 offense. We saw a little bit of it running wheel routes with Ty Montgomery and finally using Ty Montgomery in the way that I think they should have been using him for the last year and a half. Aaron Jones showed some signs, 11 carries, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Aaron Jones needs to be the guy. Mike McCarthy can no longer go with a running back committee. Aaron Jones needs to be named the starter, and it needs to happen this week. The Lions do not have a good rush defense. They struggled mightily against Ezekiel. They've struggled mightily all season. Aaron Jones needs to be that guy. Mike McCarthy needs to embrace that Jones is his best running back, and if he doesn't, he's designed to fail. And I don't know how much longer I can go with watching Mike McCarthy do the same old bullshit. And it's just really frustrating. Aaron Rodgers is obviously frustrated. You know, he said Devontae Adams had a tough matchup. He should have got 20 targets, meaning that he saw Devontae open multiple times, yet that wasn't the progressions, and he went to other guys. Devontae still had 8 catches for 81 yards. His touchdown streak finally did end. Though Rodgers tried to get him the ball. I don't understand why he didn't move to the slot. Like, they put Valdes-Scantling in the slot, yet Adams would have had a better matchup in the slot unless Tre'Davious White decided to go with him, and Adams would have been able to kind of conquer that. Tyron Johnson is not that good of a corner, even though he did have an interception. Jimmy Graham only got 3 touches. Like, the Bills aren't that great against tight ends. Like, it's like the Packers do not study these teams, and they just go and roll out their same fucking offense every week, and they don't look at what weaknesses, what flaws these teams have. And it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating that the Packers do not pick on things that other teams will. And it's mind-numbing. It's mind-numbing that Mike McCarthy continues to do this. He is a stubborn asshole. And until Mike McCarthy realizes that he's no longer in the early aughts, the Packers are going to be just a second-tier NFC team. They can make the playoffs, But right now, if you're like, hey, do you think the Packers can win the Super Bowl? Do you think the Packers can get to the Super Bowl? I'd say no. I'd be like, look at what the Rams do. Look at what the Saints do in a vacuum. Look at even what Carolina has added to their mix with Norv Turner there. Eagles, I mean, even though they're 2-2, like, they, like, how can you say right now that the Packers are a Super Bowl team? You can't. You cannot say honestly that the Packers are a Super Bowl team. They had multiple third and longs, and they punted away. Like, they were some fucking college team. Or, like, that they had Brett Hundley at fucking quarterback. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what is Mike McCarthy all about right now? Mike McCarthy, to me, seems like a guy who's mailing it in. He seems like a guy who just is content with how his offense is, and he's not spending the time to learn new things about himself. And in my opinion, there is no reason to bring Mike McCarthy back next season. I do not think Mike McCarthy has a role with this team anymore. I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to deal with Mike McCarthy anymore. I think you have to look somewhere else next season. I realize the Packers are 2-1-1. I realize that Mike McCarthy has been one of the best coaches for the Packers. I'm not arguing any of that. All I'm saying is this team does not look like they have an identity on offense, whether it's because Rodgers doesn't practice or it's because Mike McCarthy is just rolling out the same fucking things week in, week out, and they are too predictable. The Packers have a need to try new things. They have to do new stuff. They are, right now, the Packers offense is like that couple who just has missionary sex all the time, and that's it. And they have just meaningless missionary sex once every 3 weeks, and that's it. And maybe they get their rocks off, maybe they don't. Like, you need to try some freaky shit once in a while. And that is where I leave you on this Monday. So go Brewers. We'll be back tomorrow for the last Daily Tap for me, for the unseen future. And I will talk to you later. I just got a weird look from my girlfriend as I finished that podcast. So, all right, guys, we'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye.